Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most of your midlife. Good morning, Ariane.
Good morning.
Today we're going to be talking about how to broaden your perspective. And I think that's kind of an interesting topic because perspective is really important to so many things that we do in the world, how we interact with the world, how we interact with people. So perspective is one of those things. It's kind of innate to who we are. How we view the world affects how we interact with the world.
True.
And if we never stop to think about what our perspective is based on and maybe make an effort to shift it a little bit, I think it limits how we interact with the world and what we do.
I agree. There is a quote out there that says, we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are.
That's a great
quote.
And
it kind of sums up like how we live our lives, what you're saying, the culture difference. And I think religion also is another, like, it puts people or spirituality in general. It kind of pigeonholes our thinking as well because it's so ingrained in us.
Right.
You know?
And I think people don't want to broaden their perspective because if you start questioning things like your childhood upbringing and the lessons you were taught, your faith, right? The views of the community in which you live, which also shape you, it feels like you're out there alone.
Right.
And so it's scary. And people will do anything to avoid change, right? I think that's actually a psychological truth. Change is one of the hardest things for humans to do because it's risky.
It is.
But what happens when you risk it and you make that change?
I think it just opens up so much. Perspective on a simplicity level, and we've talked about this, you know, trying new foods, trying new music, opens up our perspective to maybe we didn't think that we would like something green. We actually ended up enjoying it. We do that with our kids all the time, right? Try just because it's a certain color or it's healthy doesn't mean that you're not going to enjoy it. That's a very simplistic view. In a more complex, to be able to allow ourselves that space to sit in something that is foreign to us, it brings empathy for a situation. Like I think about travel, the perspectives of other people's cultures. It broadens our view and it allows us to be a more whole person, I think. And it doesn't have to be just because we listen to or consider other people's perspective. It doesn't have to change our values. I mean, it doesn't.
That's exactly.
We can still be strong in our values, but it allows us to see somebody else. They're allowed to be seen by us. And that only promotes or encourages or fosters better relationships.
I also think it deepens your values because unless you think about how your values apply in the real world, you can have an overly simplified view that's not necessarily what you think you're going towards. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
An example I'd give of that is I as you know, like with my church, I've done a couple of mission trips with youth where we go to different states and we do rebuilding and construction work for underprivileged, underserved populations. So we took a group to rural Texas after Hurricane Harvey, and we were working on this woman's house, and it was just a little shack. I mean, it really literally was a shack. It was a four-room house. The front part of the house was, the house wasn't level, so the front part of the house was a little bit lower, and when the storms came through, that part of the house flooded, and the water got up into the walls. So we literally had to rip the walls out in the front of the house, rip the flooring out, and rebuild all that. And one of the kids that I was working with at one point said, why are we even doing this? I mean, even when we rebuild this place, it's just going to be a shack. Like, people shouldn't have to live like this, was his point. So that's his value. People should have better than this.
Right.
what he was missing was there was no other option for this person. The woman who owned the house, that's all she owned.
Yeah.
And so I said to him, well, if we don't fix it, where does she go and what does she do? She can't sell it. It's not worth anything. She doesn't have the money to go anywhere else. This literally is all she has. So us coming to fix this for her, it's creating an environment that she can live in that's relatively safe and healthy and better than any other option she has.
Right.
And he literally, as a kid, had not thought about that, that sometimes that's all there is.
Right.
So it was a perspective shift for him to recognize, hey, not everyone lives in suburban Arlington and can sell the house and move to another one, right?
That definitely brought in his perspective. And you telling that story, I think about as kids or young adults or even now in a different way, when I think about just broadening perspective, a lot of times we're forced to do it. So he was kind of forced. It was right in front of him. Illness sometimes forces us to look at different perspectives. Failures make us look at different perspectives. Travel. These are things that just happen upon us that allows us. But as we've gotten older, and since this is about midlife or 40 and older, that's the wonderful thing in life at this stage is it's not just forced. I think we can sit in things and we now have the wisdom to just know that we want to broaden our perspectives. We don't need something. Not all of us need something to happen in our life. I'm curious. And I think curiosity is such an important way to be able to broaden our perspectives. It takes curiosity from judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that takes wisdom and that takes time. We're in such hectic lives growing up and we have so many responsibilities in our life. I think about society in general and our older generation, older than us, and the wisdom that they have. And I think perspective is one of them. It's one of those things that if broadening your perspective, we could have that at a much younger age, it would be a different world,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, I think some people do. Some of that is innate. Some people are more naturally curious.
Yeah.
And from an early age set out exploring things and challenging themselves. I think a lot of people don't have that. And so I think one thing, one question is, how do we get folks who aren't naturally curious, who aren't naturally geared towards exploring and broadening themselves, to recognize that there's value to it?
True. You know, I think of broadening your perspective kind of as a, of sorts, an emotional alchemy.
Mm.
Like you have to put yourself there. You have to let somebody else's light in. Even like feel their pain. And if you do that, I believe it lightens every corner of our understanding. And understanding not more of that individual is the why. So understanding why and how they got there. And there's so much to learn from that. But also, I think that takes a discipline in some ways. Like you said, some people it is innate, and I think that's true. But I also think we can exercise that discipline to be able to broaden. I mean, I only think there's an upside. I don't think there's a downside to be pigeonholed in our own perspective. And through life, we are thrown all these situations that help us. And I think about, you know, my upbringing, and it's very diverse geographically, but I spent a lot of time in Texas. And I was thrown at age 30, around 30, 31, into from one political environment, echo chamber, I would say, to a very different one. And I had no choice but to listen to other people's perspective of things. And it definitely made me realize it didn't change any values, but my the perception I have now is way more open and definitely allows me to sit in the middle a little more, not to talk about politics, but that was a huge shift for me. I also think about different things in my life. I was a nurse and I became very aware of children that learned differently or had different medical challenges in their schools. And they needed things that other people might not, and other students didn't. And of course, there's a whole body of individuals, unfortunately, that are very focused on the success of their own children. And so when resources or time goes to somebody else that might need more, and you hear somebody saying, like, that's a waste of a resource, it opened my perspective, even though I'm very empathetic. I'm in a service industry, so I think I'm there because I have some empathy. It allowed me to realize and to help shift somebody else's perspective. So I had that opportunity to talk to those individuals that felt like, I don't understand, you know, why is my child having to, you know, sit there and learn on a certain level for 10 minutes of that, you know, to meet those kids' needs when my kid is here and that's where all the time should be. So not only does changing our perspective or understanding our perspective and that broadened piece of it, we are able to give that back to somebody else and to help broaden their perspective. So there's a whole teaching piece to that too.
Yep, there is. But the flip side of that is that sometimes you can't change someone else's perspective, mm-hmm. but if you broaden your own, you can learn to respect someone else's perspective.
It's true.
And I think about my experience for many years as a prosecutor, right? Prosecuting cases in DC and in inner city. And, I certainly came into the job with a perspective on the world, which was based on my upbringing and the beliefs my parents had. And, you know, I lived a very sheltered, middle-class, suburban existence as a kid. Become a prosecutor in an inner city, I have a certain view of criminals and criminality. But that all changed because I saw sort of the forces that led people into the things that they were doing.
Right.
That being said, I had colleagues who came in with a similar mindset to mine, and that mindset only got stronger from what they saw. And, you know, a lot of it was sort of how strong our inherent feelings were or our inherent worldview from our childhood, right? So how we took in the information.
Right.
Either changed us or it reinforced what we were thinking. So it's really important to kind of understand someone's background and what they're bringing into an exchange or an experience, mm-hmm. and which is going to affect how they take it in,
mm-hmm.
right? So one of my dearest friends, even now, we have very different views about things, socially, culturally, politically. Love him to pieces. When we have conversations about things, it can get a little fraught because even though we work the same job and we've had sort of similar experiences thrust upon us, our views have remained different.
Right.
And it's partly because our values are different, but also partly because we've taken different information in from the experiences we've had.
Right.
And we have no choice because we're friends to learn to respect each other. So maybe there's certain things we can talk about it and have that conflict because at some level it's a little fun to push each other.
Sparring's fun.
Sparring can be fun. But we also have to respect, like at the end of the day, he's not going to change me. I'm not going to change him. And that's an important piece, right?
Right.
You can try to help people broaden their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think actually we all have an obligation to try to do that because it makes our relationships richer.
Right.
But you also have to know when you're not going to make any further headway.
I think we look at things, and like you're talking about your friend, we all have people like that where the lens is just different.
Yeah.
It's not that it can't be more open. It's not that we can't let more light in and we can't have an understanding. But in the end, it's our lens.
Exactly.
You know, and that's just how we see things. And it is the way we write. It's all those things. And that those things matter. Like, I feel like I need to honor that. I don't always allow people to change my perspective, you know, but I do appreciate not being, and I'm not talking political, I'm just talking about views on anything, is I like not being in an echo chamber. Like I seek out opportunities. Yeah. And I think that's how we broaden our perspective, is seeking out opportunities. I actually know somebody that does that, and they have it as a label, like, I don't remember exactly how they label, but they try once a month or so to have coffee with somebody that is from a different culture, from a different geographic, like grew up somewhere else, a different political, and they do it to broaden their own horizons and to have better understanding. So they seek it out.
I think it's important when you do that, when you go into new environments or new experiences, even if you're not in the end going to shift, mm-hmm. you can approach it from the perspective of what can I find in this environment with this person, with this viewpoint, that I have in common, because there's always something. And it's that small kernel of commonality, I think, that helps us bridge the gap that ultimately our perspectives are different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Is there anything in particular that you feel broadening one's perspective can lead to better life for yourself, you know?
Well, I think you can't really embrace everything life has to offer if you don't know everything life has to offer, right? So exploring and engaging in things helps broaden your experience of life, which is really important. But I also think that, like, you can't – let me back up and tell you this story. This is a little anecdote. When I was a child, my dad was a very well-read man. And on Saturday and Sunday morning, he would sit down with the newspaper and he would read it cover to cover, several newspapers, in fact. And, you know, we would be having breakfast. Dad would be reading the newspaper. And so one day I was like, what are you reading? Like, what's interesting to you? And he gave me an article in the newspaper and he said, read this and tell me what you think. Can't tell you now what the article was about. But when I finished, I said, well, I think this makes sense. And he said, okay, but here's all the things that don't make sense about the position that the author was taking. It was an op-ed piece, right?
Okay.
And he rattled them off. And when he's done, he said, now what do you think? And I said, oh, well, I guess you're right. I think I agree with you. He's like, why? The opinion made some really great points. Here's what they are. And then he reiterated everything that the author had written in this op-ed piece. And I was like, okay, Dad, I'm really confused. Like, do you or don't you agree? And he said, kiddo, it's not whether or not I agree. It's whether you agree. And you can't know what you think if you don't know the other side's position as well as your own. You can't take an opinion if you only have half the facts.
That may have been the catapult for your career as an attorney.
I think it was.
I mean, that is just so poignant. What you just said, it's very rich.
And that's why, like, I've always been a person that is curious and really does try to look at other things. That doesn't mean I accept positions that some people have or some things that I just, they just don't jive. Right. But I am willing to at least look at it and listen to it, because I want to be sure that the opinion I have is valid.
Right.
And if you're not testing your own assumptions about the world, you could be missing so much.
Right.
Right. And you could be so wrong. So, to me, part of the reason to explore perspective and broaden one's perspective is to make sure that your own perspective is valid and really fits with your judgment and your values.
It is interesting how our careers have led such different paths in perspective in some ways. I mean, I am curious. I want to know more. I want to understand why somebody's thinking that way. But the way you just kind of outlined it was basically in a very attorney-like way, is understanding the facts on both sides so you can have a better understanding. I look at it as, for me, in kind of who I am and my career path, but who I am personally, is I want to have an understanding because of the empathetic piece. Like, why do they think that? Like, how does that hold in their heart? You know, what made them think that way? What life challenges have they had that has kind of cause them to have this perspective, or cause isn't the word, but why this is their perspective and how they think. So I think when you were talking earlier at the very beginning, it's about how we were raised, it's culture, it's gender, it's all kinds of things. It's also that piece of career and how we live. I mean, that's huge. That's a huge part of our lives, right? So I don't think, I actually like the fact we all have different perspectives. It allows for a lot of conversation. But on the downside, and we talk a little bit about this too, I think there's a place for all of us to try to broaden and to be very thoughtful about broadening our perspectives, and it would make a much kinder world. I kind of want to hear about your thoughts about that. Like, how do not just ourselves, for ourselves, but for others, how can we lean into that and help other people lean into the importance of not changing your perspective, but understanding somebody else's perspective?
And understanding that somebody else has another perspective.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is just, you know, if you're not a naturally curious person, ask yourself why. What are you afraid of finding out? Mm-hmm. I think if you confront the fact that you have a perspective, a bias, if you will, right, going into the world, and you ask yourself what's at risk in changing that, mm-hmm, you might find that there's really no actual impediment except in your own head.
Yeah.
Right. I also think it's important to kind of keep in mind that you started this conversation with the fact that sometimes people's perspectives shift because things happen to them.
Right.
Things happen to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to understand and accept that life is hard.
Yeah.
So what is going to make life easier or at least more bearable? Having a rigid view of things or expanding your view so that you can actually find more resources to help you through the tough times. Right. So that's a reason to expand your perspective. Yeah.
I think that's a good way to do it too. One of the questions I ask myself, I haven't always, but I do find myself, and I know people say this all the time, it's like you're in a conversation, someone's talking, and you're like, at the end, you're like, what am I missing here?
Mm-hmm.
And that is a total opportunity to be able to sit in that. Like, what am I missing here?
Well, and that's a great point, because I think what happens so often when we're in conversation with people is we're far more interested in affirming our own position and asserting ourselves.
Right.
And winning the point, if you will, mm-hmm, like it's some kind of tennis match, mm-hmm, than we are in listening.
Yeah.
So if you can set aside your ego
and judgment,
accept that your view is valid, right? Okay. You don't have to sacrifice it to listen to someone else, and then spend the time to actually actively listen.
Right.
What are they saying?
Yeah.
And try to get to what is their worldview? Where is this person coming from? Right. I'm somebody that's traveled a lot. I moved away from home at a young age. At college, moved away from home, never went back, have traveled many countries in the world, have spent a lot of time doing different things and engaging with different people. That's all affecting my worldview.
Right.
But someone else who has lived and raised in the same hometown in a smaller environment, their worldview is no less valid than mine. It's just different. It's shaped by different forces. So if I can set aside my ego and my investment in my position to listen to them and think about why they are who they are, I might hear the truth in their position,
right?
That I might not hear if I'm overlaying it with needing to win the point. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. No, it is not about winning. It is about understanding, you know, right?
Yep. So I'll give you another anecdote that I think is actually kind of captures this.
Okay.
At the local grocery store, there is a Starbucks. It's a little freestanding Starbucks station. And for many years, I would stop there in the morning on the way to work to grab my morning coffee. And there was a lovely woman that worked there who was Ethiopian.
Right.
And so every morning I'd go in and Jeanette would give me my coffee and, you know, we would talk for a few minutes and off I'd go. After about 2 years of this, one morning out of the blue, she said to me, "Do you have faith?" And I said, "Yes, I do." She said, "Do you go to church?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And she said, "So do I. I would love to have you come to my church someday." That's like a completely outside the box. Like
for a barista and
a barista at Starbucks.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, there's a million ways you can respond to that. Mm-hmm. No thank you would be most people's approach,
right,
because I don't really like people messing with my religion. Like my religion is my religion. That's so personal and core.
You're curious.
But I am curious. And so I was like, you know what? That would be lovely. I would love to go to your church sometime. So it could have ended there, but she pursued it. So a few weeks later when I was at coffee, she said, you know, "I still want you to come to my church." Her church moves around, right? It meets in different places at different times. It's a conservative, Orthodox Ethiopian Christian faith. And she said, "Next week, they're going to be in Falls Church at this church. I would love if you would come." And I was like, "I will come." She said, "Good. It's an 8-hour long service." I'm like, "Whoa." She's like, "You don't need to come for all of it. If you come at noon, I'll be looking for you. Just you have to wear a long dress and you have to have something to cover your head. And when you arrive, you have to take your shoes off." So I was like, okay, this is going to be a very different experience. So I get there. The place is packed. All of the women are wearing white and they're all wearing white head shawls. So I walk into the sanctuary area. There's no way I'm going to see her, right?
Wow.
I take my shoes off. I kind of sit down in the back. And right then, a little girl gets up and goes out to go to the bathroom, and her mother turns to look back, and it's Jeanette.
Mm. Meant to be.
Meant to be. So I go over and I sit with her, and, you know, we embrace. So then her daughter comes back from the bathroom. The kid's like 8 or 9 years old, adorable. And we're sitting there, and the entire service is in Ethiopian language, right? Which I don't know.
Speak.
Right? So the little girl comes back, and she sits down, and the whole service is in Amharic, which is Ethiopian language. And I don't understand a word of it. And at one point, the little girl turns to me and she says, "Do you speak Amharic?" And I said, "No." She said, "Then why are you here?" And I said, "I'm here because your mother invited me and she's my friend. And God is God, whether it's in English or Amharic." And she smiled and she put her arm around me. And I was just like, that to me is about perspective.
Well, you've changed hers too.
Both hers and mine changed. Mm-hmm. And the core thing that our perspective was changing about was faith, right?
Right.
Faith is bigger than my understanding or her understanding, mm-hmm. than my language or her language. It's a bigger thing.
Right.
And that sort of, that incident brought that home to us.
I think that's beautiful. And I think that that's inspiring as well. Like, we all should take those opportunities to be in discomfort. Not that you were in discomfort, but that was brave to go into a setting that wasn't familiar to you.
A strange setting. Right.
Right. And by yourself.
And as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking actually that both anecdotes I've told today have to do with kids. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of an important piece too. Like, as adults, for the children around us, not just our own children, but also other children that we come in contact with, we have the opportunity to model a curious, open mindset, right, that's willing to explore new perspectives.
That's what I was saying earlier. I think it is a gift that we gift other people as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that they gift that to me when they allow me to see their perspective. And I think that that's what makes the world go round in so many ways. It is so important. But we do get entrenched, unfortunately, in our own understanding of something and not allowing that. But what you just did is a beautiful way that all of us can actually look for things like that. We've spoken about our hobbies before, and I will say, and I've said this before, is my camera lens has changed my lens.
Right.
It has changed the way I look at things, the way I understand people. And there's other hobbies that will do the same thing. But if somebody has any interest in photography, don't just go do the landscapes, but look at the people, look at the cultures. We've had the opportunity to do that through a photographer, Jay Fleming, on the Eastern Shore, who's grown up there. He knows the watermen. He understands the landscape of culture, political, environmental, all of it. But it's allowed us to have these conversations with individuals that has changed my thoughts about them. Mm-hmm. And especially on the environmental level, like, I believe in keeping our environment clean, all of those things. But there are little things that they will say that actually infringes on them being able to make livelihood. You know, like, and just listening to that, not that I would agree. Some of it I do agree, but I think that all of us, everybody should find little ways, like you did going into that church, or me going into environment with my camera, to just open ourselves up and let that light in and let it illuminate those corners of our understanding and let us actually evolve and become more whole, have a better understanding of life in general. And I didn't do that at 20. I didn't do that at 30. And I don't actually seek out to do that all the time. It's just, I think it's
a byproduct of the way you live.
It is.
I think any hobby that takes you to different places or to meet different people is a great way of opening perspective. Reading.
Oh.
Reading, yeah, is critical.
Both of those, yeah.
And I, you know, not a political thing, but efforts to sort of ban books or isolate what kids can be exposed to, I think are so wrong, because that's such a big part of perspective. And it doesn't necessarily have to change your values or your viewpoint.
Right.
It just gives you understanding. Reading was so critical to me growing up. I just think reading is really great. Travel. Travel doesn't have to mean international travel. It can be going to a different city. If you if you live in a suburb and there's a city nearby where you can go and spend a day and explore what that has to offer and see the way people live there, and vice versa. If you're a city dweller, go out into the country and spend a weekend somewhere.
It can be in your own county and city.
Exactly.
Like we live in Arlington, Virginia, and there are three or four spots in Arlington, Virginia, geographically, that are extremely different. I mean, polar opposites in some
yes,
ways.
Absolutely.
And so even opening, going and doing that, or sitting in a restaurant that maybe no one speaks English.
Right.
Right.
And actually, restaurants and food.
Yeah.
I always find this fascinating. Most cultures have a chicken and rice dish. It's a little bit different because the sauce is different and the surrounding ingredients. But it's fascinating to me that there's that commonality amongst that much diversity.
Yeah.
That's something that you
especially
learn.
Especially rice. I just came back from Japan.
It's like rice. But like, that's the kind of lesson that you take from opening yourself up to a different culinary experience, right?
Sure.
So food is a great mm-hmm. way of exploring perspective. Mm-hmm. And music. There's so many different kinds of music, right? Not just whether you like rock or country, but different world music. You know, I'm learning Italian. I listen to Italian pop songs.
It's fun.
It's a way of sort of getting...
I like K-pop. How's that?
Okay, there you go. Or TV or movies. I mean, there's just so many. There are a lot of easy things within reach that you can take advantage of to just give yourself a little bit of a taste of the bigger world.
Right.
And then if you have more resources, you can go a little bit further afield.
Bringing it back to our stages in life, I don't think we're always afforded the opportunity because we're so busy at a younger age. But for our audience, for our listeners, if they haven't thought about these things before, they're kind of in a place that they probably have the opportunity to do that and to seize that moment and be able to do that. I think also we think of talking about working on our communities in small ways or big ways instead of in the demographic that you're used to, that you've lived in. Find a demographic
absolutely.
In another, you know, somewhere else within your community that you can actually learn and understand better.
And do more than just put money in.
Oh, yeah.
Put skin in the game so that you get to understand.
I mean, that's where perspective changes.
Right. And for a lot of people, that's actually one of those things that's easily within reach because a lot of faith communities do that kind of work.
They do.
So connect with your church or your synagogue or your mosque or wherever it is you worship. And find out what they're doing in the community and participate in that.
It's true. And I think most counties also have something called a community foundation. So there's a person there where you could do a little survey and actually they will find. And you can also talk or in the survey what you want out of it. So that would be something that you could address and it could be a good fit.
And I think the last thing I would say is it's important not to have regret that you didn't explore things when you were younger. I mean, we all sort of, our early part of life is all about building career. It's about building family. That's a common.
Looking inward
and, you know, gathering resources so that we can live our lives. But when you get to this part of your life, if you don't take advantage of the fact that those things are in place, that, you know, that work is behind you.
Right.
The work of sort of.
Survival.
Right. The building and creating and security piece for most of us, not all, but for most,
right.
That's set. So now you have the time to look forward. And I think, you know, it's kind of like enriching your life and getting as most as you can from the human experience while you can. That's a beautiful thing.
Personal growth. So I think the other thing about perspective and one of the reasons that we kind of hang on to it, because it's the version of truth that we know. Mm-hmm. And it allows us to have some control in a very unpredictable world. And we see that now, actually. I mean, I guess it's always been there. I just find it rising to the top in a lot of ways because life is unpredictable. And I think that we realize that as we're older, just through wisdom, that there's so many twists and turns.
Mm-hmm.
And we still want to be true to our own truth. But I also think that it takes humility. It takes putting ourselves in painful situations that might be for our own ego to be able to open ourselves up and be able to do that. So I think that's a barrier in general, as there are other barriers, and we've talked about other barriers that we have in opening up our minds. But the rewards are unbelievable.
Control is such a human, I don't want to call it a failing. It's a natural human tendency to want to control things. But man, the more you control, the more you limit yourself.
Well, the interesting thing about that and control, what you just said, it's security, but it's such a false sense of security. Mm-hmm. That's what we don't realize is like on the other side,
right?
You get to that point. Sometimes there are certain things that you realize letting control of that has actually put you in a better spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think it goes back to those hierarchy of needs, you know, the Freudian hierarchy of needs of security in general. There's probably deep rooted reasons why we do that.
But recognizing that that's what's motivating you,
right,
allows you to surmount it.
Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. I didn't have self-awareness for many years.
I
think that's just an age thing. Well, you have a little, but
I have been telling my kids since they were little, the most important value you can have is self-awareness.
It's true.
Understand how your own mind works.
Right. Well, and I mean, we do that with our, depending on your child, is like, look at social cues. Like, look at what other people are doing, because it allows you to also think, okay, not that you want them to conform, that's not what I'm saying, but it allows you to have some self-awareness, like, no, I'm thinking this way and doing that, and it allows them to actually concentrate on their own behaviors and their own thoughts. But we as adults should be telling ourselves that too.
Right. You know, I'm a person that's always telling anecdotes,
oh, yeah,
right? So, and I just gave the anecdote about the church situation, which I think I've actually shared before on this podcast. And as I'm sitting here thinking about that, I'm realizing I took so many different perspectives from that experience, that that single experience relates to a lot of different things I think about life. And that's one of the reasons why it's good to broaden your perspective. Give yourself a new experience, give yourself a new place or new people, and it rebounds in ways that you don't necessarily anticipate.
Right. You know, one of the, you have told that story before on one of the episodes in which you did it, which I think is lovely, was on friendship. So we tend to have our own tribe and they look alike and maybe it's from work or we're raised together or whatever. But you in particular, I think, reach for friendships outside what would normally be the norm. And I like that. I try to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's precisely what it opens your perspective.
Yeah. That's a beautiful point.
Yeah.
The males in my life are really challenging me. The male friends in my life are challenging me in ways that are making me think things through in a different way. And I've mentioned Pat Helmers to you, that I met at a podcast movement.
And we've talked with him
about the conference. We have. So I just recently had a conversation with him as well. This doesn't actually have to be for this, but by any means. But he was like, Marianne, if you want to learn to change your perspective or find where perspective is very rooted, because I told him that we're going to be talking about perspective, he said, you should start by reading Aristotle and Plato and just their thoughts on it. They don't lay it out as fact. They actually lay it out in a way that you can enrich yourself by your own thinking and bring a lot of the basics and your own philosophy and where you got that. But it opens up your mind. And as you're podcasting, because you are talking, yes, you're talking to a specific group, but within that group, there are a lot of people, different geographies. I mean, we know people from all over the world, mm-hmm, are listening to us. But there is a common ground when you look at the questions and things that are proposed by the philosophers like Plato and Aristotle. So that is when we're talking about just broadening our perspectives. And we talked about like putting ourselves in volunteer and travel and all of that. You did mention reading. I think reading's important too. But I also think about going to those individuals that had that challenge people, right,
mm-hmm,
with their own philosophy and their own thoughts. And
I think, so it's when you're saying that, what, mm-hmm, it's making me think of is, and I'm just going to pull this up, for me, not so much philosophers, but poetry, especially the romantic poets.
Yeah.
And there's a poem by Wordsworth. I think it's Elegy Written on a Country Churchyard. And there's a line in it. I may be misquoting it, but it's full many a flower was born to blush unseen on the desert air. And I remember reading that poem in high school, and it really struck me, this notion that your life and my life are just as valuable as the person who never makes a podcast, never works in a, you know, is a farmer that lives a small existence in a small community and lushes unseen on the desert air. They may have talents and gifts that never get known to the world.
Right.
But they're valuable too. They're a flower. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It really struck.
They're valuable to themselves and their family.
I mean, their family.
That's the wholeness.
There's just something about that line.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I'll send it to you later. But
okay.
It was one of those things early on in my education that just really sat with me. Here it is. Full many a gem of purest ray serene, the dark unfathomed caves of ocean bear. Full many a flower is born to blush unseen and waste its sweetness on the desert air. It's just a really
that
beautiful
sums up
thought.
So much.
Yeah. It's kind of the core of humanity, right? Mm-hmm. Like we live our lives. Mm-hmm. We may or may not do great things.
Right.
But we're all valuable.
We are. It doesn't have to be in a big world stage.
Right.
Like I think that also alludes to the fact that it can be in a small stage or just for yourself.
Was there a moment in your life that made you see the world or yourself differently?
Oh, wow. So many.
I can think of one. Well, there are many. There are many. But the one that comes to mind is, and I've spoken about this before and I won't be elaborate on it, but I had a child that got very sick. Even though I'm in the medical field, I always counted on the medical population to be smarter than me and to fight for what I felt was important in basically saving my son. And what I learned from that, what I didn't know before that I learned from that is that I had an innate strength. Like I was a fighter. I think of myself as a peacemaker. I'm the middle child. I think of, I'm the mediator. I'm all those things. But I had to tap in and I learned that, no, I can be the leader in this. I don't have the faith at the moment. And I understand that the science world and those providers don't have the time or the energy to maybe be able to sit and think through a very complex medical situation. And I realized that I was a fighter and I was a leader in that way. And I had strength I had no idea I had. Does that answer it?
Yeah. I think for me, I would say it was the year that I got divorced from my first husband, because I went into marriage with assumptions about the importance of marriage. And as I grew up in a home where, even though I went to college, that wasn't what my parents valued, right? My mother in particular really thought the be-all and end-all was getting married and having kids. She couldn't have cared less that I went to college or law school, thought it was kind of a waste of time. And so I felt like I needed to be married. But when my first marriage was dissolving, I went to a therapist and she said something that really sort of rocked my world. She's like, don't leave because you're assuming that you'll meet someone else and find a better husband. Leave because your life will be richer outside of this relationship than in it. And it never occurred to me until then, like my life could be a freestanding life. I didn't have to be married. That really opened up my eyes. And so I was like, actually, I do think my life would be richer on my own because I can do the things that I want to do. Fortunately, several years later, I met my current husband, who we line up in terms of values very, very well. So it has not impeded my ability to live my life. Like we live a good life together, but we also give each other room to be our own people. That wouldn't have happened if I wasn't looking for that, for the ability to live my own life. And I only looked for that because of what that therapist said. Really, really
that's
changed
incredible.
Me. Gave me a new perspective.
Right. No, that's good.
It's actually really important.
Yeah.
I always tell people I was born in the 1960s, but raised in the 1950s. My parents were so old school.
If you could offer one piece of advice for someone stuck in a narrow view of life, what would it be?
Read about other people's lives. Read biographies and autobiographies. Read fiction. Read whatever it is that's going to give you a different view of how life can be. Because it's only when you kind of come confront that and see it, that you're going to make changes.
This seems so cliche, but it's putting yourself in somebody else's shoes to really understand why, the why, like why they think that, why they come to that conclusion, why they're so pigeonholed. It would be to put yourself into somebody else's shoes and answer that for yourself. So that would be my advice to somebody, is basically just open yourself up to sitting in their light, in their pain, and have a better understanding.
So thanks for tuning in on this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. If you have any thoughts about perspective, you can certainly email them to us or reach out to us on our website. We'd love to hear from our listeners.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.